Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Sure is good to see you. I sure do love you. I appreciate you today. Do you appreciate the choir, the horns, the strings? Oh, come on. Let's tell them how much they add. Don't they add? We're going to a new level. Come early. Get here on time. We're going to a new level with our worship. Do you notice we've added strings and more horns and now the choir and old songs, new songs? Wow. I'm thankful, aren't you? Because I want to get in His presence. And when you get in His presence, then you get wisdom and insight and healing and restoration and all the good stuff. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, open your Bibles with me today, if you would please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Encourage you to follow along and take notes. And you can have a digital Bible, but I encourage you to have an authentic, real Bible, okay? You really need both. You really do. Check it out. If I'm lying, I'm frying. Scientifically, they say you get more out of a paper book than you do a digital one. Now, I'm for both. I do both, okay? I'm not against either or, but I think both are awesome, all right? And take some notes. We're beginning a brand new series. We're getting ready to launch our small groups, calling it Pray First. Pray First. Can you say that with me? Pray First. So for the next 3 weekends, we're going to talk about the importance of responding in prayer, the importance of seeing the possibilities through prayer. Every good story, the narrative, there's a villain and there's a hero, okay? The villain that I want to help you with that is trying to destroy your life is hopelessness. Hopelessness. There's more hopelessness now than ever before in our culture. The villain that I want to attack over the next 3 weeks is the devil comes to all of us and tells us things will never change. Things will never change. The devil tries to convince us, he has the art of exaggeration, trying to tell us that things that are temporary will be permanent. Now, I've lived long enough to let you know that he's a liar and his pants will be on fire. Because those things that are temporary, he tries to make you think they're going to be permanent. It's never going to change. Things are always going to be like this. And for the next 3 weeks, I want to demolish those lies. Because through prayer, it's possible. Say it with me. Through prayer, it's possible. That's the one-liner. My gift is to make difficult things simple. And if you can walk away from that, with that for the next 3 weekends, I've done my job. Through prayer, it's possible. No matter what the doctor or the lawyer or the judge or your ex may say, no matter what the teacher or the principal, no matter what your neighbor might have said to you, your teacher, your coach, the priest, the pope, the pastor, through prayer, it is possible. Because with God, all things are possible, right? So let's look at this. Let's begin today our journey on pray first, pray first. And before we read the scripture, I want to give you this. Effective prayer life takes four things. To have an effective prayer life, number one, I have to know who God is. I have to know who God is. And I appreciate the guys putting it up on the screen in the back for you. You can take a snapshot if you can't keep up with me on the notes. Isn't that cool? You have to know who God is. In my devotions this week, I was reading Psalm 135, and I came across verse 5 in the Living Bible, and it says, I look continually at the greatness of my God. I look continually at the greatness of my God. Whatever you give attention to, you magnify in your life. Whatever you give attention to, you magnify in your life. If you're giving attention to what's wrong, wrong gets bigger. If you're giving attention to your problems get bigger. That's huge. So I have to know who God is to have an effective prayer life. He's limitless. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He's all-caring. He's everything, right? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Tiskanu. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the mighty God. He's Elohim. Whoa. Man, I'm ready to go have that food truck now. Praise the Lord. All right. Number two, you have to know what God has said. You have to know what God has said. So see, we all struggle with our prayer life. Let's just be honest. We all struggle with it. But to relieve us of the struggle, if you go back to these four points, that will help us out. If I'm struggling with my prayer life, just go back and begin to focus on, read scriptures on that talk about who God is. And it'll build your faith. It will quick start you, right? It'll quick start you. And then know what God has said. That's recorded in the Bible. And Dr. Phineas Dake of the Dake's Bible says there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I learned that in Sunday school. How about you? That little song in Sunday school. Every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every line. So you need to know what God has promised. Because effective prayer always lines up with the Word of God. We pray the Word, don't we? We pray scriptures. We pray promises. And we're always praying the will of God. So I have to know who God is to have an effective prayer life. I have to know what God has promised so I can put Him in remembrance of what He's promised. Now, He hasn't forgotten, but I tend to. Right? And you know, you promised your kids were going to Six Flags when they were little. You may have tried to forget, but they wouldn't let you, right? They put you in remembrance of your promise. Saturday, we're going to Six Flags. Number three, you have to know how God works, His patterns and His principles. God works according to patterns. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord, and He changes not. I need to know how God works. Seed, time, and harvest. That's how God works. I have to plant a seed, then I have to give it time. And then there will always be a harvest. There's a release of faith, and then comes the fight of faith before the manifestation of faith. When I understand God has process, God has pattern, and God has principles, then it gives me patience, gives me endurance, it gives me perspective, it gives me power. So to have an effective prayer life, number one, I need to know who God is. Number two, I need to know what God has promised, so I put Him in remembrance of that in my prayer time. Number three, I need to know His patterns, His principles, and His processes. Number four, and this one is huge, especially what's going on now in the public schools about identity. Number four, I need to know who I am in Christ. I need to know my identity in Christ. Did you know that you and I, instead of focusing so much on our habits, it really starts with focusing on our identity. Celebrate Recovery brings that out. The Bible brings that out. In other words, if I find out who I am and then realize that who I am does this and not that, it's called a habit. When I realize I'm an overcomer, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God, I'm the apple of His eye, I'm a new creation, then how does the new creation act? I don't start with a habit, I start with my identity. And you do that by who you are in Christ. You look at the in Him's, in whom, in Christ, those phrases in the epistles. You look, when you read your Bible, circle every scripture that has an in Him, and in whom, and in Christ. And then you discover who you are in Christ, which will birth the habits that will bring that to pass. Ooh, I like it. You got to know who you are in Christ. You have to know what to resist and what to receive. Pray first. Through prayer, it's what? Possible. You forgot already. Say it with me. Through prayer, it's possible. The healing of your marriage, the healing of your body, the restoration of your finances, the raising from the dead your dream. Yeah, through prayer, all of that is possible. Your children serving God in an ungodly culture, through prayer, it's possible. Amen. Coming off of drugs, alcohol, meth, cocaine, through prayer, it's possible. Oh, I like it. So now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Boy, there's an anointing here today. Amen. Through praise and worship, y'all made it manifest, didn't you? Thank you so much. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Always be sad. Oh, always be like everybody else. No, always be joyful. It's a command, not an option. Always be joyful. Now I bring this up because this is connected with prayer. Well, the Bible wasn't written in scriptures and chapters, okay? So in the context, always be joyful. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? Always be joyful. Joy right now is a witness to the world, right? Always be joyful. Next verse, verse 17. And never stop praying. Whoa. Always be joyful. This is prescription for a victorious life. We're victors, not victims. We're challenged and energized by changes, right? And challenges. We're energized. Never stop praying. Whoa. So that would be a life of prayer. That would be an attitude of prayer. That would be a routine of prayer. That would be, all of the above. Never stop praying. Always be joyful. Now, watch this now. I know I'm spirit-filled and under the influence, not of Bud or Coors. Do they still have Coors? Right answer. way back, BC, Coors was my thing, but I didn't know, and so you don't either. If it's out there, right? Y'all answered right. So I know I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit when I'm joyful. If I'm not joyful, I'm not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, nor am I spirit-filled. Pastor, where do you get that? Romans chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, it says, if we're in faith, we're full of joy, peace, and hope. If we're full of the Word and the Spirit, we're full of peace, joy, and hope. I know today, if I'm Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, under the influence, led by the Holy Spirit, if I'm walking in joy in spite of my circumstances, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what's going on around me. So being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then he says, never stop praying. Verse 18, whatever happens, I think whatever means whatever. Boy, you're my kind of people. This is our tribe, right? Whatever happens, and you know what I found out? Whatever does happen. You know, right? Monday morning, whatever does happen. Whatever happens, keep cursing God. Oh, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. I want to know your will today, God. This is what God wants you to do, is be full of the Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can always be full of joy. And that's the only way that we can have an effective prayer life. And he said, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. this is God's will, or this is what God wants you to do. What does God want us to do? Never stop praying. Can you say that with me? Never stop praying. One more time. Never stop praying. And today, you know, if my prayer life needs a hit, it needs to be strengthened, it needs a quick start, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at who God is. I'm going to go back and look at what God said. And it's going to fire me up to want to be with God. Prayer is being with God. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is relationship with God. So if my relationship and my prayer life, and it's the last thing that I do, then I need to get a fresh revelation of who God is. And I need to get a fresh revelation of what God has said in my one-year Bible. Amen, everybody? All right. So now let's go to the next scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy. And the Apostle Paul, here we find out that there's social and political upheaval. Does that sound like our culture today? Social and political upheaval. The Bible is relevant. The Bible does tell me how to respond, okay? So social, political upheaval. The king right now, when Paul is writing this to Timothy, is Nero. Nero. Do you remember history? Nero burnt the city down and blamed it on Christians. Burnt the city down and blamed it on Christians. He made the Christian the villain. That's what's happening in our world today. You're being seen as Christians as the problem. You're the problem. It's out there in our culture today. So not unlike Paul's day. In his day, now in 2 Timothy, he's in prison. In 1 Timothy, he isn't. In 2 Timothy, he's in prison about to get his head chopped off. Who chops his head off? Nero. The one that he's asking us to pray for in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he's telling us to pray for those in authority, starting with their king, Nero, who went on to kill Paul by chopping his head off. So I guess if Paul could pray for those who harmed him, we can pray for an ex, for a boss, for an enemy, for a friend, for a foe, for a coworker, for a fellow student, for someone who hurt us, someone disappointed us, someone let us down, right? If he could, with Nero, who was the most evil king ever, who eventually put Paul's head on a chopping block and chopped his head off and killed him in 2 Timothy, but he's telling us in 1 Timothy, pray for those in authority. Amazing, isn't it? Now, the title is what? Pray first. So it's saying keep prayer as a priority. Let's look for the word first. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, first of all, pray first. First of all, with the social upheaval, the political upheaval, all that's going on in our world today, this is still a great prescription, great advice for you and me. Pray first. We can change our culture. We can change our government. We can change our workplace. We can change our school systems. Through prayer, it's possible. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, pray first. He's talking to a pastor, Timothy, who's over our congregation at Ephesus that has tens of thousands of members. So he's talking to a congregation. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, everybody say, first of all, first of all, that you have supplications, that's petition. There's four different kinds of prayers here. First of all, supplications, that's number one. Number two, prayers. Number three, intercession. And number four, giving of thanks. Four kinds of prayer that he said, pray first. Before you get back, before you get even, before we put on social media, before we get bitter, before we cuss, curse, before we do something stupid, crazy, pray first of all for those in authority, right? Because when the righteous are in authority, the nation is blessed. When the righteous are in authority, the nation is blessed. So I exhort thee, therefore, fellow Christians, first of all. Say that with me. First of all, pray these kinds of prayers. Well, supplication there is petition. It's asking for a need or a desire. And I'm here to tell you, God cares about your needs, and God wants to give the desires of your heart to you as they line up with his will. And secondly, prayers there refers to public corporate prayer. Public corporate prayer. Public, corporate, prayer. Public. You're still not getting it. Come out from the computer and the iPhone and gather together publicly, in person. Public, corporate, prayer. You can't get at home what you get here in present tense. Now, it's all good, but it ain't as good. Right? It's all good, but it ain't, excuse me, English teachers, as good. I exhort, therefore, first of all, four kinds of prayer, supplications, petition, it's request for a need or desire. Prayers is referring to public corporate prayer. He's talking to a congregation. Number three, intercessors. That's when you stand in the gap for another person and you bring them before the Lord. And then the last kind of prayer that he said, first of all, pray first, the giving of thanks. Those are the prayers we thank God for what he's done, and we thank God for what he's going to do. Oh, yeah, we thank God for what he's done, and we thank God for what he's going to do. He helped you kill the lion and the bear. He's going to help you knock out Goliath. Come on, somebody. He's going to help you knock out Goliath. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God has a strategy for your Goliath today. You know that? Can I take a little side thing here? You know, David and Goliath, don't you love that story? And David was a shepherd boy in the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep, right? And his brothers couldn't do it. Saul couldn't do it. The army of Israel couldn't do it. But David shows up on the scene, a 17-year-old boy who was a shepherd boy taking care of sheep. But during that time, it wasn't wasted time. It was preparation time. It may have looked like wasted time, but it wasn't wasted time. It was preparation time. And you know what he was doing? He was learning how to use a slingshot. Okay? Now watch this. He was learning how to take down an enemy from a distance. He was getting skilled on how to take down something that would come against the sheep from a distance. So what happens then is he comes before Goliath, and you ever notice this, that Goliath, he was a giant, right? He was a giant of a man, right? He had all that armor on, but you'd ever notice that David, when he brought him down, used what God gave him and used what he had become skilled in, right? Notice that if David would have got close to Goliath in close combat, he couldn't have brought Goliath down. If he would have ran up to Goliath to try to take him down, he couldn't take him down with a slingshot right in front of him. But God knew exactly what he would be skilled at, crafted at, talented at, best at, the armor that he needed, not Saul's armor. And notice from a distance, the slingshot, right? From a distance, God has a strategy for you to take down your giant today. And it's going to line right up with what God skilled you with, crafted you with, what you're best at, and the strategy that he has for you. Others won't understand it. Saul's saying, wear my armor. And he said, I don't want your armor. I'm going to wear and use what God's given to me, what I've developed, prepared, highly skilled in. And so from a distance, he threw the slingshot, and you all heard it. Goliath said, nothing like this has ever entered my mind before. You're slow, but you're worth waiting for. Amen. And he knocked him out. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? So the giving of thanks, God helped you with the lion and the bear. He's going to help you with the Goliath you're facing today. But notice, he said, first of all, everybody say, first of all. First of all, pray first. First of all, a congregation, publicly, privately, first of all, we're to pray for those in authority. We're to pray for those in authority. Not, you know, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. But we're to pray for those in authority. And then four kinds of prayer there. But then he said, be made for some men. Whoa. So through prayer, it's possible for your unsaved family to come to Christ. Through prayer, it's possible for your teacher, your professor, your supervisor, your boss, your neighbor, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. Through prayer, God didn't say for some, he said for all. So it's possible for all that you're praying for to come to repentance. No one is too difficult for God. No one is too hard for God. All he needs is an intercessor. Whoa, I like it. First of all, he said, pray these four types of prayer. And then he said, do it for all men. It's God's will that all be saved. Not some, all. It's God's will for all to be saved. Okay, now why this God? Why? See, we have to understand his principles, right? His patterns, his process. So he said, before I pray for me, my name is Jimmy, gimme. Before I pray for my wants and my, he said, pray for those in authority. That would start with the president, the vice president, speaker of the house, Congress, senators, right? Governors, right? Mayor of the city, the police department, the school system, your kids' teachers, professors, instructors, those on city council, the school board. I'm losing some of you now. Come on, hang with me now. We don't have to like them, but we're to honor their position. We don't have to like their values and their principles, but we have to honor their position, and we can change them. We can change our government. We can change our nation. We can change our school system, our universities, where you work. We can change it through prayer. But I want to go one step farther, and let's just continue. Verse 2. For kings and for all means all, that are in authority. Well, why, God? I'd rather just push them off the front porch than tell you they died accidentally. And let's get somebody in there with godly values. Why, God? What's the benefit, God? What's the benefit? God is a good God. And God said, if we'll pray first for those in authority, starting with the president all the way down to your mom and dad, if we'll pray for everybody in authority, he said, then the result will be we'll have a quiet and peaceable life. It will bring peace into your household. Now, guys, can we put that 1 Timothy 2:2 in the Amplified? I think I gave it to you in the Amplified version. You can go back to verse 1 if you want to. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. First of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, four kinds of prayer, be offered on the behalf of all men. Why? Because it can change men, women. Next verse, verse 2, for kings and all who are in positions of authority. I may not like them, but I'm to honor their position. Okay? May not agree with their policies, but I'm to honor their position and I'm to pray for them. What am I to pray for? That's next weekend. I'm going to give you exactly from the scripture what to pray for over them. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, well, what are we going to get out of this, God? Outwardly, we have a quiet and undisturbed life. And inwardly, everybody say outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly, a peaceable life. Inwardly, a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Look at these key words. And seriousness in every way. Look at the benefit as the team comes out. When we pray first of all, We get it in order, our life will get in order. We do it God's way, then what happens is peace on the inside and peace on the outside. Strife out. Being disturbed and ticked off and upset at everything that doesn't go my way is gone. Being ruffled and upset and losing joy over the whole day over one thing is gone. Not offended, not upset, not ticked off. Don't wear things on my shoulder. A peaceable life on the inside. I'm healthier. I'm happier. I sleep better. I relate better to my children, my husband, my wife, my mother, my father. Everything changes. I know now that I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because when I'm Spirit-filled, there's peace, joy, and hope. There's peace, hope, and joy. There's joy, hope, and peace. This is the answer for being hopeful, joyful, and peaceful. By praying first. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today? Come on, let's thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just thank you for the word for right now. God, thank you for giving us direction on how to get more peace in our life, how to get more joy, more hope in our life. Thank you, Father. Right there where you're at, just thank him for, just begin to thank him for revelation right now coming forth and the correction we might need to make about how we've been talking about those in authority, from the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House, the Senate, the Congress. Even though we may not agree with them, we're to pray for them and we're to believe for change in their life, for the ungodly to become godly, for those who disrespect the word to respect the word, for the blinders to come off, for their eyes to be open, for them to receive godly wisdom and counsel, all the way down to my children's teachers and counselors. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, for change today. Thank you for adjustment and correction, empowerment, encouragement, admonishment in Jesus' name. Glory to God. 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 Excuse me, I just got to praise him because things are happening in the spiritual realm. Things are changing in our households, our marriages, our parenting, our children, our school system, our government, our community, the city council, the mayor, the governor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our armed forces, our police department, our sheriff's department, all through prayer, it is possible in Jesus' name. It is possible in Jesus' name. We can change it. We can rearrange it. We can correct it. We can infect it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We take our authority in Jesus' name and we speak to it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory because we're expecting. And everybody said, let's give the Lord a good praise right now, can we? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask you right now to close your eyes once you're standing. Everybody here, everybody online. And I want to lead you in a prayer corporately, okay? I want you to pray this with me right now. Just, it's all biblical. And just say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent for anything that I have said or done that contradicts your word. I am in agreement from this day forward with your word and that we're to pray first. We may not like them or their policies, but we're to pray for them and see them changed under the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe you have great things ahead for our nation, for our state, for our county, for our city, for our school system, and for our household. We claim it, your best, peace on the inside and the outside. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.